Not doing it. Not gonna do it. All right.
I'm not gonna do what?
Like brunch. Go to brunch.
Oh. Brunch right. is good.
No, I love brunch, but
there's too much brunch sometimes.
Fair enough.
You know what's messed up though is sometimes brunches are still super packed during football season.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah. It's probably like a trade off, like you can watch football all day if we go to brunch.
Woo. Are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge. Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Locker, Ramon Ramirez is in the house. Coming to you live from Austin, Texas. Want to shout out our friends on Twitter. We finally got that ITL fan league up and running. I look forward to I'm in there with you guys. I'm in the trenches with all of you horrible human beings. I got my gloves off. Oh, man.
One of my 12
leagues, officially in 12 leagues.
12 fucking leagues?
Yeah. I've Gronkowski in six of them. So.
Okay, look, you can't. How can you manage more than one team per day?
That's right. Like, no. What you do is you got to say, this morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. I did.
8 a.m. to 11
that block to management, to reading, to information.
How many times per week?
I just feel, once a week because I work in the
evening.
So Thursday morning, that's kind of my time. I'm actually really excited about it.
Do you have one of those signs in your house that says, we interrupt this marriage to preview football season?
No. You just work around it. You work around it. Welcome to Inside the Locker. My name is Ramon Ramirez. With me, as always, Adam Charles.
Hi.
Elliot Fontanet.
Texas forever.
JC De Leon.
Go Cubbies.
And Logan Urie, the producer.
Hello.
Musical guest, my dog Penny. And we're going to get right into it. A lot of good stuff. So what we're going to do, we're recording this on a Thursday. We also have an announcement to make. We have a big announcement to make. Going forward, it might be next week and it might be the week after that, we will begin to do this show live. Thursday, coming to you Thursday nights live. It'll be a live stream, so you can just tune in, watch on oneofus.net. I guess listen, right?
It's going to be starting around 9 p.m. Central Time.
We're going to do nine to 9:30, Central Time.
I'm so scared. Like, I say some stupid shit that I really think it's cut out.
No hurt feelings. No take backs. No,
you're going to hear all the shit that we wish didn't make on the air.
No TV magic. And then after that, it'll go live Friday morning. You can listen whenever you want on iTunes. And you can also hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/ITLcast. Follow our parent company, oneofus.net, on Twitter. All right. So part of the reason we're doing that is because we collectively can only really record on Thursday nights. And that's problematic because obviously, the games, like, there's all this information that happens between Thursday and Sunday, and we certainly don't expect you, the listener, to have time to necessarily always listen by Sunday morning. And we understand that you guys have things to do. So going forward, we're going to be doing that live show. We're pretty excited about it. It should be a lot of fun. And eventually, we'd like to do some remotes. Once basketball season gets going, we'll have a Clippers bar. Remember, the Los Angeles Clippers, official team, Austin Clippers of Inside the Locker. You can like that on Facebook. Austin Clippers, just look us up on Facebook. We have seven likes on that page.
Yeah. So says we, Ramon.
So check it out. Just search Austin Clippers. You'll see the page. It is not updated that often, but it does have seven likes. And once basketball season gets going, it'll be exciting. All right.
Slow build.
I think
slow
I'm build. One of those.
I think we got Logan. We got – it's a soft open.
Well, you're going to have me tonight. Like, that sounds bad.
Austin Clippers.
Damn it.
Welcome to the live cast. So, all right. So, here's what we're doing. This is the What's New for Fall podcast, the Back to School podcast.
What's good?
We apologize for lack of a show last time.
I got my Trapper Keeper. I got my JanSport. I'm ready.
We got our stuff. If you tuned in last week, you would have heard me say my Final Four in the college playoff. And I think I might have said this a couple weeks ago. Ohio State, Notre Dame, Auburn, and USC. Obviously, Auburn? Off to a big start with Notre Dame just absolutely pummeling the Texas Longhorns, a game that unfortunately I was at.
You were in attendance that game.
I was in attendance. Oof. It was
in South Bend, Indiana.
Like, that being said, though, I mean, I imagine the game experience is pretty terrible, only because you're a UT fan. But what was South Bend like?
Bunch of Catholic people.
Very nice, very friendly, beautiful campus, historic, stunning.
Touchdown,
love the Midwest. What I don't recommend doing Do not stop in Gary, Indiana to see Michael Jackson's childhood home. Definitely don't. I did that. Huge mistake.
That just sounds like depression. Yeah.
Gary, Indiana is one of the, like, you know, top five in murder rate.
Yeah, it's Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana is not a good place.
Like, did you find a rat and sing to it when you got to the house?
It was
it's
rough.
Like, hey, come look at this house where children were beaten.
Yeah, all these steel mills are out of business and the whole, like, city doesn't exist anymore.
You want to know why Michael Jackson was so fucked up? Here you go.
Yeah, well, you know, back in the day, because, you know, like, the people that I was with thought it was going to be, like, the Music Man. They were just like, Gary, Indiana, Gary. They thought that was what was coming. And I was like, no, Gary, Indiana's hard. It's going to be unpleasant. All right. So this is the What's New for Fall podcast. Actually, that's not the name of the podcast, but it's the What's New for Fall edition, back to school. What we're going to be doing is we will detail all the things that we're excited about for the fall. Obviously, football. We'll get to that later. But first, just culture, right? We got TV, film, music, comics, video games. Like, there's all of this new, exciting stuff that is going to completely take away all of our time. So
I don't have enough time to do all the stuff that I want to do.
And that's the big thing. Once you start working, it's like, I would love, like, I have, like, some money to buy the stuff that I want to do, but I have no time.
No time. No, it's unbelievable how quickly it flies.
Football's back, video games, movies, all sorts.
There's too much good stuff.
All that.
Especially when, in my case, like, football is really just kind of a placeholder until basketball season starts.
You are the biggest basketball fan I know.
I love that.
You're the only basketball fan I know.
So anyway, so things are happening, and I think, you know, today when you think about it, when, you know, when people talk about music or culture or art or, you know, even journalism, they say the word content. Like, there is so much content out there, and we're going to tell you which of it is worth your attention, and hopefully you get some good recommendations out of that. So let's start with television. Big rundown of some new shows. I think we should start with probably the geekiest, and I kind of want to get your reads on whether or not this is going to be worth your time. First off, and you can have to help me on this because a lot of these shows I haven't personally seen. So what we're doing here is we're saying this is a show that you should probably check out, and here's why. So let's start with Heroes. They're bringing it back. This is a show that started off with such a bang, so much hype. Everybody loved it. Kind of fell off a little bit. The world kind of, like, you know, just didn't go where we thought it was going to go.
Well, the writer's strike hit it pretty damn hard.
And now it's back. So are you guys in on the new Heroes?
You know what? I love good art design, and the stuff that they put forth, their opening reels look really, really cool just from a cinematography standpoint, so I'll give it a shot. But it better fucking come out like a cannon. Like, I'm not going to sit there and give it I'm not going to give it five episodes. I'm going to give it two.
Well, and this is – I think this is Tim Kring, who who initially launched Heroes the first time. Like,
Krang, like from Krang, Turtles?
Right, exactly, that dude. Okay. If I remember correctly, he actually was kind of the staple of that series.
Okay.
And its strength was definitely that first season. Like, the first season really kicked it off, and it was really engaging.
Yeah.
And it really got you excited for season two. And then something fucking happened in season two, and I don't know exactly what it was, but it just derailed. It derailed, like, quickly.
Well, I didn't remember it until Elliot had said it just now, but yeah, it was a huge casualty of the writer's strike back then. It's hard to really remember what was affected, because, like, TV and movies were still happening.
Yeah.
But that writer's strike went on for almost an entire summer,
mm-hmm.
and that's when TV shows are filmed. And so, yeah, I know it affected Lost for a little
while. Especially pilots and stuff.
Yeah, affected a lot of pilots. So
basically, it sounds like with Heroes coming back, you guys are giving it a tentative endorsement, but you're saying two episodes or you're out.
Yeah, because, like, if you're coming back after your show basically failed, you better come with your A game. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when it first came out, I gave it a season, and I'm happy I stuck with it because it's a good show for me now. But I'm not. But that show hadn't failed before.
Mm. Yeah, that, like, I think that's the kind of it's the idea that I can't give you too much. I can't give you that much investment because the last time I did that, you fucked me over, you know? So you've got, like, it's almost like they're on a fairly short leash.
Yeah, and it's like, there's so much good stuff out there that you can watch for free, for almost free.
And I think that's probably what's going to happen with, if Heroes does, if it doesn't, if the pilot doesn't really catch you, I think within, you know, or the series doesn't really catch you, I think within the first two episodes, I think what you're going to see a lot of is a bunch of people just tuning off, and they're going to wait for it to hit Netflix. And they're going to hear whether or not they should have invested time in it or not, but then they're just going to marathon it, because that's kind of what I do.
Well, you know, Fox has a bad rap for, like, when they canceled Firefly in, like, 2000, ever since then, they've gotten a horrible rap. But, like, ever since then, like, every one of their geeky shows gets at least two seasons. And, like, for some of the geeky shows, especially, like, stuff with a lot of plot lines, you need at least a season.
breaking news, Rob Gronkowski has just scored another touchdown.
Yes.
But yeah,
it's good for me in one of my money leagues.
So, again, we're recording this on Thursday night during the Patriots.
Speaking
breaking news.
Speaking of which. Okay. Let's talk about this for just a minute. Speaking of which. Speaking of geeky shows. Now, this is one that you guys have already seen and you guys believe in. The Flash. Obviously, this is a comic that everybody remembers. It's a superhero that a lot of people don't know that much about. It's the guy that's fast. Why is... And I think, like a lot of DC heroes, rooted in this classic age of storytelling, don't translate all that interestingly to the 21st century outside of maybe Batman. Because, like, the Superman thing, right? Like, he has a power, he has a channel. And for casual fans like myself, it's hard to get excited. Why is The Flash a series that we want to be watching?
The cool thing about The Flash is I kind of wrote it off in the beginning, and there was his first appearance was in a spinoff episode during Arrow. And, the actor playing The Flash I wasn't totally enamored by. But the cool thing about the show is it's done really well, incredibly written, which, you know, obviously helps. But, yeah, it does a good job of expanding the mythology of the character, and that he's more than a guy who can just run fast. Like, he heals really fast, which is the thing I didn't know. When he is running that strong, you're generating that much more power. You're really super fucking strong. And so that, you know, it illustrates the way he can kind of run up the side of buildings. Like it, and it does it in a way within, you know, within telling a great story. I think the way the first season ended was great.
It's like you're talking about the little touches it adds. Like, when he runs a lot, he has to fucking eat to get those calories back, right, because he's expended all that.
I like that.
The thing I love,
basically Michael Phelps on steroids.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know.
The thing I love about The Flash is that it, of the DC superheroes, this is something DC is pretty bad at, with especially its movie universe, they're so grim and they're so fucking serious. The Flash is the only hero, and from DC's stable right now, that doesn't take himself too seriously. Like, he's having a good time. He's like, fuck yeah, I can run as fast as shit.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, it's the closest thing they have to have or the...
Like a Spider-Man.
Spider-Man was actually going to compare it to. Like, there's a lightheartedness to the series that it's not as dour as something like Arrow, which actually, Arrow, I'm actually really excited about,
too.
And the one thing that I really am excited about that for the fact that The Flash was as entertaining as it was is... You're actually seeing that television universe itself, like, really expand.
Well, they have another show coming up.
Right, exactly. That was it. The I know
Heroes of Tomorrow or something.
Is that what it is? I know, like, it's like the Atom.
It's going to be the Black Canary who we thought died. Spoilers, who didn't?
Well, actually, that like she's back from the dead, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like maybe
she's like reanimated or something.
Like through the Lazarus pits.
But
hold on, guys. We're getting in the weeds. What the hell is Arrow?
Arrow is based off of the comic book Green Arrow. It follows Oliver Queen after he gets stranded on an island ostensibly for 5 years, but we find out through flashbacks. And this is a really cool thing. It tells a parallel story each season. Mm. So first season, you're seeing 5 years ago when he first got stranded. Second season, you're seeing 4 years ago. Third season, we saw 3 years ago. Now we're seeing this fourth season 2 years ago before he even gets... And then in the sixth season, ostensibly, they're going to show you... They're going to run out of flashback. So I don't know what they're going
to
do, but it's a really cool storytelling technique.
To flash forward at that point.
Yeah.
Well,
so hopefully it doesn't suck.
Well, what is interesting about it is, you know, I kind of have this thing about how television shows tend to run too long if they're in about...
Six seasons in a movie.
Yeah. About, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. This is the fourth season. This past third season was, I mean, I would say is the weakest of all of the seasons that Arrow had been in. Like, I wasn't totally into
weakest,
a lot of it.
It was the weakest ending to me.
Yeah, and it was the weakest ending.
I will say weakest ending, because season two was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
when you see the way that season ended, it seems like they painted themselves into a corner, and I'm curious how they're going to open this next season. And
well, apparently he's going to become Green Arrow, not just the Arrow.
Right.
So they're probably going to lighten the series up a little bit, because his character arc has been sort of that classic, like, basically it's Batman, but they're calling
Batman. Yeah.
The first
it's Batman season, when he starts getting late.
The first season of Arrow is basically the Batman Begins stretched out over 20 some odd episodes. It's the exact same movie.
And it's as awesome as that sounds.
I agree.
So are both the Arrow and the Flash available, like, to stream somewhere?
Yeah,
you can watch. Is that on Netflix or is it on?
I think it's
Amazon Prime.
I believe Hulu. Hulu for sure. I believe. I don't know if they have the entire season or not.
Hulu does that bullshit where they only do the 6 most recent episodes.
Okay.
Well, I know the Arrow first 2 seasons are on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I know you can watch, but there are other ways to watch series.
You can take it to the streets. And that's all that we're going to say.
It's like, go to a barbershop, and that guy got some shit in his trunk.
I know you've been waiting to talk about The Age of Adeline. So, JC, I'm just going to let you go in. Let's talk about Jessica Jones, another Netflix show, another expansion of the Marvel Universe. For those of us that don't know, for those of us that just kind of like got stoned and saw the Avengers, right? Who is Jessica Jones? How does she tie into the universe?
You were there?
And why should we watch this?
This is where Elliot might be more...
okay.
Because I don't know much about her character. Yeah, other than Kristen Ritter is in it, and Kristen Ritter is amazing, I think.
If I remember right, Jessica Jones, she used to be a hero named Jewel in that like 80s... Brian Michael Bendis, when he took over...
She got
over,
some messed up for like snaggle front tooth.
Yeah.
No.
Like, well, Brian Michael Bendis, when he took over the character back in 2000, made a comic book called Alias. And the point of Alias, if I remember right, was that this was a person that she didn't want to be a superhero anymore because of something really fucking bad that happened to her. And she just is investigating a lot of crime now. So she's sort of like the everyman with superpowers in Marvel's universe. Sort of a way to... The thing Marvel's doing really well in their TV universe is they're grounding the big cosmic stuff that's happened in their movie universe because they are related. So, you know, a big complaint for Avengers Age of Ultron was, well, you know, it's sort of the same thing as the first Avengers. It's a bunch of big people. We don't really care about what's going on, whereas the TV sort of doing the opposite. And Jessica Jones, they couldn't call it Alias because of the Jennifer Garner series.
Yep.
Like 15 years ago.
Right.
It's like, I knew that word.
Oh, actually, I didn't realize this. So the guy who's the head writer on the Jessica Jones series that's airing, he was the one who created Powers. Did you know that?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that, but I know Powers. Okay. Powers is great.
Yeah. So anyway, I just saw that like as I'm looking it up right now. But like looking at this cast is pretty freaking killer.
Doesn't it have the person from Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23?
Yep,
that's Kristen Ritter.
Yeah.
Don't Trust the Bee. And Gronkowski has just scored another touchdown.
Another bitch.
Five catches, really? 94 yards, and three touchdowns.
It's actually Kristen Ritter, David Tennant of Doctor Who fame.
He's going to be fucking evil.
Kilgrave. We don't know the character.
So let's talk about... I'm sorry, anything left to say about this?
Well, David Tennant, yeah. all these Doctor Who people that love the 10th Doctor, they're going to learn to fucking hate his character in Jessica Jones because he's going to be the creepiest villain Marvel has. He's going to be Marvel's Joker.
Oh, I can't wait.
Is what's going
to
happen.
I can't wait to see him like that because he's so lovable other than that.
It's going to break some people's hearts.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that so much.
That sounds fantastic. All right, now let us talk a little bit. Okay, let's just chit-chat while we're on the subject. Speaking of killing and death and villains, Fear the Walking Dead, right? The prequel Walking Dead set in Los Angeles... I gotta say, you know, the idea of sticking with a cast where I like the characters, but I know that they're all gonna be like, you know, horribly ripped to pieces. I don't know if that's something I'm interested in, but you guys say it's pretty good.
I've heard mixed things. One of my friends says he loves it, and then I've heard most people say it's not very good.
they spend the first episode focusing on shit that does not matter. Mm. By the end of the first episode, you're like, okay, I sort of get why. But if you really just can't give them one episode to get going, you're not going to like it. But the second episode's pretty good.
Well, the thing I'm curious about is since it is a prequel, right? So it's taking place before Walking Dead,
right when Rick was asleep.
Was sleeping, like all the shit that was happening. Yeah. As soon as he wakes up, I assume that's what's happening on In Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So you know where it's headed.
They're already starting out behind the eight ball because there's really no dramatic tension in terms of the world.
Mm.
Like, is it, I mean, maybe that's my confusion with it, is, I guess, where are they going to take it? Is it going to be, like, a group of people that in a completely different direction?
Honestly, and this is not me trying to be flip, I don't think AMC really cares about where the story's going. I think they're just trying to get paid.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I don't think they have any idea. I think they're just like, Walking Dead is really fucking, it was a really fucking well-watched show. We just lost Mad Men. Let's put something else on. It's going to make a bunch of money.
Mad Men, by the way, yeah, like, I don't get me started on that shit. I love Mad Men so much. It's probably my favorite show. All right, lastly, this was like a Bradley Cooper movie that nobody particularly liked or had any interest in. Limitless is now going to be a TV series. Why are we excited about this?
Yeah, I like a show that the movie star is going to be on it. Like, he's not going to be all the time. But honestly, like, I like Bradley Cooper, and if he's going to show up, I'm going to watch it.
You know what? The concept of the movie was kind of intriguing. And yeah. I will say that did anybody else watch the movie?
Oh, I love the movie, actually. Okay.
I like the movie. I think the movie is pretty good. But I think it gets to pretty good at the time you get to the end. Yeah. Like, what I'm kind of looking forward to with the show is where it's going to pick up, if it's going to pick up where the movie left off, which is...
Now, yeah, how does the movie end?
Spoiler alert.
You guys have had 4 years, so, 5 years.
Right. Yeah, 4 years, yeah.
To see this movie that nobody ever really cared to see at
it's
the beginning.
It's $3 on Amazon.
It's a shame. Yeah. It's a really good movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
Well, I take back everything I just said. I mean, it was one of those movies that just felt like I got dumped in, like, September, and I don't know.
Yeah, and it was basically, you know what? It was Lucy before Lucy, and it was starring Bradley Cooper.
Like, it was Lucy with all the weird shit in it.
Kind of, like, so he's a guy who, he's an aspiring writer. He's given a bag of pills from, mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly who, but that's kind of beside the point. Sure. The pills have, like, they heighten your senses, and he becomes increasingly more intelligent the more pills that he takes, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he ends up becoming a super intelligent, highly successful multi-millionaire, and he gets caught up in some kind of, I guess it's a drug ring of the people who actually created the pills, who are trying to look for the guy who gave them to him and all that stuff. But anyway, the way that it basically ends is he's no longer reliant on the pills in order to be the kind of human being that he had become. And he's actually able to see into the future.
Yeah.
And like, he was able to, like, synthesize the medicine.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. He basically, like, he became so smart, he re-engineered the medicine so that it became permanent. Yeah, it became permanent.
Well,
yeah.
Call me just a
permanently limitless.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. The very pants I was returning.
Well, look, call me a horrible slob, but the thing I liked, one of the things I thought was really funny about the movie is he gets so smart, he can pick up women just because, like, he's doing the angles in his head. He's like, okay, she has this book. She's doing this. She's going to need help on this. I'm going to tell her this, this, and this, and then it works.
Yeah, he basically did, like, you know what they do in the
Sounds
Matrix,
like
and
me.
Like he looked at her Matrix vagina, and fed her some cake, and then, you know, all of a sudden she has an orgasm, kind of thing.
It sounds like the pickup artist. It actually sounds kind of like problematic. But in any case, I like it. Okay, so Limitless, the show. Bradley Cooper's going to be there. Interesting concept. Maybe worth our time. The other thing I wrote down on the board is MR. I don't know what that is.
Minority Report.
Okay, so yeah. Minority Report. Now, this was a movie. Now, actually, I have a take here. It's something I read on a forum, so it's maybe not that original. But here's the thing with Minority Report, right? Like, all he had to do was, you know, like, these precogs are all taking place in Washington, D.C., right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can predict when this person will be murdered.
Yep.
And that's how they stop crime. So all the guy had to do was, like, leave DC and just kill her.
That's a good fucking
And that would have been the movie. That's all he had to do.
Here's my issue with the show. Sometimes I'm a little cynical about these things, and I'm looking at, like, oh, what network is it airing on? It's airing on Fox. The show's going to be really expensive. If it doesn't take off immediately out of the gate, then Fox is just going to cut it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be this year's Almost Human.
Yeah.
So even if it's really good, even
Almost
if it is good,
okay.
Yeah, Almost Human is excellent. Yeah. But anyway,
like Data.
I like Minority Report, the movie. I am interested to see what it is to do with the series. But one thing that I don't want it to be, which, like, the impetus for the film was, you know, Tom Cruise being framed for something in a very specific way. So I doubt the movie or doubt the show is going to be anything about that. It sounds like it's going to be more about they know that a crime is going to happen. They know somebody's going to get murdered.
It's going to be procedural.
Like, it's going to be, we see this murder happening. We know who's going to be doing it. And we know who's going to be the victim.
Yeah.
We just need to find them now. So there was a series that aired and got canceled, I want to say like a year or two ago, called Motive. And it sounds a lot like that, where the whole shtick of it was, unlike most procedurals where you're following along with the detectives to find out who the killer is, before the, like, at the very, very start of the episode, we show you who the killer is, and we show you who the victim is, now we're going to show you exactly why it is they did it, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And this sounds like it's going to be almost like that. It's almost like they're looking for the motive, or they're looking for the place where it's going to happen, because I think that's the one variable that they don't know. Like, they don't know the person, they know the people's names, and they see how it's going to happen, but they have to put pieces together to find out the location of the murder so they can go prevent it.
That sounds like something that I'm probably going to watch, but I think one thing that geeks have a real problem with losing sight of is geeks are not the fucking center of the universe. when it comes to TV, and like my parents are gonna fucking love that show.
Yeah,
they love procedurals. They'll watch The Closer. My mom will watch Criminal Minds. She'll just put it on, just like on Netflix, and just keep it on for 12 hours because like it's a procedural. You always know what's gonna happen. The reason Law and Order lasted 30 years, so
they're very disposable. Yeah. Like you can just have it on the background and it's just whatever.
And it's sort of satisfying to watch it because you're like, oh, yeah, I thought that was gonna happen.
Yeah, especially when you pick it apart, you're like, oh, yep, I guessed it.
So like even if this thing doesn't take off in the geek circles, it has a good shot. Even just as a procedural is catching on.
I like that. All right, so those are the TV. I mean, obviously we're not all that excited about the Muppets.
I'm sort of excited about the Muppets.
I really want the
Kermit
Muppets
and Miss
to
Piggy
be good.
Broke up.
Miss Piggy was an abuser. Thank you.
They're gonna get back together.
Well, yeah, that's the art
series. You gotta start. Come on.
I want the Muppets to be good. I want them to be good.
I never want the Muppets to be bad. Like the Muppets is one of those things where you never want to see it.
But the Muppets are never as good as you hope they're going to be, is the problem. You're like, oh, this actually isn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Or hoped.
Yeah, hoped.
Yeah.
I don't know, I can still watch the original Muppet movies, or like Muppets Take Manhattan, The Great Muppet Caper.
Okay, but the modern Muppets are just sort of like, even the Muppet movie came out a few years ago, it's still like...
Which one, the Jason Segel one?
Yeah,
or the...
it took a while to get going.
Yeah.
Like, kind of a slow star, a little too self-aware, kind of shitty.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you're like, yeah, that was pretty good. All right. Hold up, though. Let us move forward. Because in addition to television, there's actually a big season for video games. There's actually some mammoth releases that are coming out that the community's really excited about. So we felt it was appropriate to touch on them very briefly. First is a game called Metal Gear Solid 5.
Metal Gear.
The Phantom Pain?
The Phantom Pain.
Okay, now, again, I think anyone that...
Pain like...
It's currently out right now.
It
was released last week.
Here's what you need to know. There is a horse in that game that you can get an eye patch. You can get a horse and eye patch.
There's also a dog you can get an eye patch.
That's great. That's exciting. Metal Gear Solid is a name that I think everyone has just heard. Like, you know, you hear the name.
Yeah.
What is it? Because I hear that, I think, oh, it's a game, like, you get in a car and you race.
That's fair. That's actually really
sure.
Fair.
Sure.
It's like, no.
So, it's not that. But now, why isn't it that, though?
So like, in the lexicon of the game, the Metal Gears are, basically giant walking tanks, usually bipedal tanks, that are capable of launching nuclear warheads. So think of, like, nuclear submarines, but on land that can maneuver and walk around anywhere.
So like Crimson Tide meets Pacific Rim.
Yeah, something like that. And the series of games in particular is so great just because their storylines are just...
fucking bug nuts insane.
Out of this world. So ridiculous, but in, like, some of the most, like, fun and, like, crazy ways
possible. It gets, like, these games get away with stories that other games will get crucified for just because it's like, oh, it's Hideo Kojima. It's fine.
And Kojima is the dude who's kind of the mastermind of this whole thing, and
Didn't he just leave? He left the series, right? This is his last
this is
thing
his
with
last
the series.
Well, because, like, Konami is fucking apparently really horrible to work for. Like, they have this...
apparently the worst to work for.
Yeah, like, they have this thing where,
for, like, what, 30 years? 20, 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
But, like, apparently they have cameras on you at your desk when you're working.
Yeah.
And, like, if you don't do a good job, they will reassign you. If you're a programmer, you'll be a janitor next week.
That sounds unbelievably unpleasant. But let's talk about the game.
It works, guys.
This is the fifth installment. How does it relate to other installments? Why is this one that you want to just go in there? If I've never played Metal Gear Solid, do I just cop the 5 and just go in? Is it like an iPhone? What is it?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts because almost every single episode, every single version of it is kind of hops around in the timeline. So in this version, you're playing as a character called Big Boss, which is actually it's a prequel to Metal Gear Solid 1. And
so you could theoretically play this before the rest of it.
So if you wanted to play these in order, you would play Metal Gear Solid 3, then 5, then...
I think 4?
Then 1, then 2, then 4.
Okay. Like that's the chronological order of these games in that. But in this one, you're playing as Big Boss, also known as Venom Snake, in 1984.
In, like, Afghanistan and
It's a mixture of...
More specifically answer Ramon's question, if you've never played this game before, the way the gameplay is... Because I've tried to play this, and it's completely not my thing, personally.
it's definitely not everybody's thing, by any means.
Yeah, because you have to sneak around very quietly and, like, sneak up behind people and, like, quietly kill them or, like, subdue them. My instinct, and I play Call of Duty, my instinct is like, well, just run out there and shoot everybody.
Which I've done that before. Actually just was playing two nights ago, and I rode through this enemy encampment on a horse, shooting a bazooka in one hand, and then sniping dudes in the head with another, like, without any cause of, well, like...
The one thing I never really got about this series, and I get it from a gameplay standpoint, but... The idea is you go around, you sneak around, and you break people's necks. You try to kill them quietly or something like that. It always baffled me that whenever, you know, if you leave a body there, and they have this in Metal Gear Solid 2, you know, you leave the body there, somebody sees the body, they kind of get alarmed, you know, so they start looking for you.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck is this body there? Eventually, they just get disinterested. Like, apparently, like, after, like, 60 seconds... No longer do they care that there's a body there on the floor, mm-hmm. and the guy's just dead. Well, apparently, he just died of natural causes with a bullet in his chest.
It's still a video game.
The startle noise is my favorite video game noise of all time.
Wait, it's actually, there's a gag in Metal Gear Solid 4 where there's a guy who, like, he's one of your allies, but then he, like, sits up suddenly and he has a mohawk, but in the back of his head is a little dot, so whenever he stands up, it looks like an exclamation mark, which is the same mark that pops up over your enemy's heads that, you know, is stupid.
I do remember one thing I did like about the series was how creative they got with... not necessarily having you stick to the narrative of, or the typical thing of, like, you face a boss and you have to beat them a certain kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of, like...
The original, or, like, Metal Gear Solid 1 had one boss battle in particular that just really just blew my mind.
Psychomantis.
Yep, Psychomantis. I don't want to spoil anything for it, but he's basically, like, he's a psychic soldier of sorts, and in order to beat him, you have to do kind of these crazy things.
Yeah,
and,
things like physically with your, like, if I remember correctly, it was like physically with your controller.
Yeah, and like that's the thing, is like Metal Gear is sort of meta. Like, there was a part in Metal Gear Solid 2, I think, where to get past this one part, you had to unplug your controller and put it into the second.
Oh, you just totally. That was what we were talking about.
Yeah,
I didn't. They wanted to know, and I didn't know.
Yeah, and spoiler thing: if you want to take it, like most people, if they've already played Metal Gear Solid, I thought that was two.
I'm sorry,
but anyway, no, that's a Psychomantis thing. It's like, since he's a mind reader, the mind aspect of it is that he can read your mind because your controller is in port one. Move it to port two, he can't read your mind anymore.
But also at the same time, like if you had a PlayStation, like, memory card plugged into your PlayStation, he would be like, I see you've been playing Madden 3.
Yeah. Like, it was pretty crazy when you experience it the first time.
Like, what the shit is
how
this?
How the fuck do you know this?
There's some, like 12-year-old boy, like, 20 years ago, is like, his shit was just freaked out.
Yeah. I've been playing Metal Gear Solid 5 this past weekend, and so far, it's great.
How many hours you put in it?
I've put in 40 hours and I am 10% through the game.
That's a damn.
Yeah.
Are you getting like 15 bucks an hour for that? Like, my God.
Dude, it's so much fun.
It's coming from the guy who has 12 fantasy.
Yeah. So, Pop, what is it like?
That's awesome, man.
It's great. It's so much fun. And, you know, again, like JC said, it's not for everybody by any means, but it's just like, it's a lot of fun if you kind of, it's kind of like a popcorn movie. If you just let yourself be immersed in it and just enjoy it, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, it's like the closest thing I can remember from when I did play video games quite a bit. It's like, it's the one thing that has like the cinematic element to it. Like you really want to see what happens next, and like it just compels you to keep on playing.
Yeah,
I remember I hadn't even played it, and my buddies when I was in college were playing like 2, And I just sat there. I didn't even play the game for like 2 hours just watching cutscenes.
Yeah.
Because there were so many. And I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah. No, and like in the story, really, like you really get invested in what's happening. Like you really want to see what happens on the next level because you want to hear the next part of the story. Yeah.
But it's also kind of good to watch this, you know, to get back on our sports portion of it, where like it's good for me to like be playing this while I can be watching the football game on my iPad, just off screen. And it's perfect for that.
It sounds like you're saying you just have to let go.
Yeah.
And play this game.
I love this song.
Yes. I really don't know why I did this. This is not even really a joke.
Are you really Zach Braff?
I just kind of wanted to listen to this song. You know, I think the Garden State soundtrack gets a bad reputation.
I fucking love Garden State.
Moving forward.
The town was better.
So, all right. The other big game of the season is called Fallout 5?
4.
Fuck.
Fallout 4, which is actually not coming out until November, but like I think that, so Metal Gear Solid 5 is kind of like the main, like, big release of the fall. The big release of the winter is going to be Fallout 4. Yeah. It's going to be, like, after I beat this, I'm going to be spending my time watching the playoffs and playing Fallout 4.
Yeah, like some
and game. What is Fallout 4, and why should we check for it, and... Can we skip ahead and just play Fallout 4, or should we be playing 1 through 3?
You should, if you have some time, play Fallout 3.
Yeah, Fallout 3 is great.
Revolutionary. Like, it was only came out about 5 years, 5 or 7 years ago. Fallout 1 and 2 were pretty old.
It was in, like, 2006, 2007?
Yeah, and it follows, it has, like, a 1950s aesthetic that's sort of, like, a space age, suburban thing going on. And I think the plot is that your nuclear bomb fell, and you emerge from a vault. As I'm keeping you safe, and now you have to explore the wasteland.
Mm.
And it's just an RPG, but it's done by Bethesda, sort of the king of RPGs.
Yeah,
like, they're the best at it, and they really take their time on their RPGs. So like they only release them every few years; they don't have a perennial thing. So like they took their time on Skyrim, and that was amazing. And so like Fallout 4, it's gonna be good. Like that's a guarantee. Like if you have like a Christmas break and you have a week. Play Fallout 4 that week, especially if you don't like your family and you just don't want to be around them.
Yeah, it's basically it's great because you can go and just like wander this vast wasteland and then come across these quirky characters.
Plus, you have a dog.
Yeah, and you have a dog, and and there's all sorts of weird new features about it too. But it looks like it's going to be great. I'm hoping it's going to be great. I feel confident about that. I loved Fallout 3. I really liked Fallout New Vegas. Didn't love it as much as Fallout 3, but
yeah,
still,
I heard it wasn't as good.
It was great in its own way, but I didn't feel like it was quite
had a good personality.
Yeah.
So okay, so Fallout, Fallout 4. Look for that in November, and those are your two big. Like those are your, basically the gamer in your life will probably be plugged into one of those two games.
If you're interested in like narrative games, not necessarily like competitive games, then like those are your kind of two big ones, right?
Your go-tos.
Yeah.
I love it. Now let's talk film. We've just closed a very like, boisterous, intense, ridiculous summer season. Big movies, good movies, bad movies like Jurassic Park. Now we have, the prestige movies. We're going to throw out the big ones, and I just kind of want to feel how excited you guys are. And Adam, I'll let you kind of lead the discussion here because you are the movie guy. I've been to your living room; it is it's terrifying. All right, so let's start with Spectre. I don't know what that is. I've heard the name uttered. What the hell is Spectre?
So Spectre is the new James Bond film coming out. I think as far as the new Daniel Craig films or the Daniel Craig Bond films, it's the first one that's going to be directed by the same director as the prior installment, which Skyfall being, I think, inarguably the best of the Daniel Craig James Bond films, and I think one of the best Bond films in general. So this one has a lot going for it, mainly for the in that regard that it's repairing up. The director, the actor, the cinematographer, the Roger Deakins, who for some reason the guy can never win a fucking Academy Award to save his life, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it's that along with Christoph Waltz playing the
he's
the villain.
Guy.
He's the villainist. So
he's like such a great villain.
Yeah, like that's the thing with the Bond films. It seems to really take it over the edge for most part. Is who's going to be the villain and how well can and like how great of a villain is it going to be. And Javier Bardem being Javier Bardem. Mm. Like, it's really hard to upstage that, but I think if you're going to try to find somebody to, like, take it on to the next level, Christoph Waltz is kind of that guy. That kind of that guy you want to see Bond take on next.
I just want to see Christoph Waltz do anything. I want to see him like butter
like,
toast.
Yeah, he is one of the most charismatically evil people. Like he's probably like the nicest guy.
Yeah.
But when you get him on screen, he seems like he just relishes playing, you know, terrible people.
So it sounds like a complete no-brainer. The Bond.
I mean, that's the bingo.
Yeah.
you're good with the Bond. I mean, you think this is going to be a good kind of like final ride for Daniel Craig?
Yeah, and I think so. I think
I've liked all the Daniel Craig movies, and I think people kind of shit on Quantum of Solace, and it's.
But I think they shit on Quantum of Solace for the same reason that they hopefully don't shit on this next one, which is because it's got the shittiest villain. Like it's a shitty villain with a shitty motive. Kind of thing. Like you really could care less if he succeeds or doesn't.
It's also the shortest Bond movie, so like it feels like a quick, like just kind of summer hit because it's only like 100 minutes long. And all the Bond movies are like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, they're usually kind of longer.
If I have one complaint about the new Bond, is it's a bit too serious for me sometimes. It's a little too grim. Like I like them, but I think that's where Kingsman sort of had their opening, and that's why they did so well.
And you know, I've seen it has kind of deviated that or gone into that kind of direction since Casino Royale. I thought Casino Royale was pretty playful. For the most part, I think it had to be
because it played on the old one. So it's just some of that stuff. You know, like it's hard to make poker interesting. You know,
yeah,
it's hard to make. Obviously, poker's interesting, but like just watching men play poker
to let to ESPN.
I thought that. Casino Royale, yeah, a little playful, and then since there, yeah, it has to be dark, it has to be serious, and it's an inherently absurd character, and so it's you're right, sometimes maybe a little joyless. That said, I haven't seen, like, I saw Casino Royale, and I just kind of, like, checked out. I mean, I used to love the Bond series, but I think you're right, I didn't like it for whatever reason. No good reason, but I just haven't circled back. All right.
You should watch Skyfall.
I 100% will. I hope it's on Netflix. All right. The Martian. This is a book that everyone has read. You can cop that at your local library.
I haven't read it.
Matt Damon playing an astronaut who gets stuck on Mars. He learns how to grow his own vegetables. He drinks his own urine.
He's Bear Grylls?
Eventually gets saved. So
he finds Jesus?
Are you guys ready for The Martian? And, you know, someone said it was, like, Castaway, but, like, on space.
Not boring would be nice.
Are you guys in on the more? Do you think it's going to be good? It's stacked with talent.
I mean, Jessica Chastain, Matt Damon, like, those two alone are going to have me in the seat.
It is stacked with talent. It's, you know, for film aficionados, it's the next Ridley Scott movie. And it's not like Ridley Scott's had a great run of recent, but... He's one of those directors who always like he is he's one of the greats, and he's one of the greats in terms of science fiction. And so whenever you see him revisit that particular genre, it's something you always feel like you want to get excited about. So, and this one, at least with this one, it's not since it is an adaptation of a book that a much beloved book of recent, then you get the idea that at least the blueprint is there for there to be a really good film. And you're not like the imagination part of it is not like kind of out there. Now you just want to see what Ridley Scott can do to a story that you really, really like. So
I love that. All right, let's move away from science fiction just a little bit. I apologize. Did you have a closing thought on the book?
No. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a book that I actually haven't read. I'm kind of one of those people where whenever a movie is coming out from a book that I hear is really good, I try not to read the book beforehand because I don't want to go in with any preconceptions of what I expect it to be and be disappointed by it. I'll usually read it afterwards. So,
yeah, absolutely.
In that sense, I'm actually looking forward to reading the book after I watch the movie.
Love that. All right, let's talk about the Steve Jobs movie for just a moment. The second fucking—I just can't believe this asshole's getting two goddamn movies. I don't like it.
Well, it needs a good one.
Well, hopefully, this is like the last one. Like, you hope that this one's good enough to the point that nobody else wants to make another one because I don't feel like that there's anything left to tell.
Written by Aaron Sorkin, directed by Danny Boyle. This is probably, besides Star Wars, my most anticipated movie of the year. The Social Network when that came out.
Social Network was the shit. I really think it's really terrific. I really think it's really impressive. I think Sorkin since then has gone. What happened is like The Social Network came out. He got that screenplay Oscar, and then he went and crawled up his own ass.
You're completely right.
And he dropped
Moneyball.
He dropped
Newsroom.
He dropped Newsroom, man.
Which is so fucking sanctimonious.
So sanctimonious, and he's writing these monologues for all these people. And now it's like, you got Fassbender is playing Steve Jobs?
Yeah. Magneto.
I don't know, man.
The early buzz on Steve Jobs from friends of mine in L.A. who've seen it is that it's just as amazing, if not more so, than The Social Network.
I'm sorry, but Ashton Kutcher will always be Steve Jobs. No,
awesome.
I don't know, man. I could not be less interested in the subject. I could not be more over the... I mean, Danny Boyle did Slumdog, and that was, like, the worst movie of all time.
That's a great movie! Come on.
And that's kind of why... I actually do like Slumdog Millionaire. But Sorkin... I love everything Sorkin does, and I even loved The Newsroom. So I do feel like he can take any subject and make it interesting.
Did you love Sports Night?
Yeah, Sports Night is probably my favorite show of all time. Everything Sorkin has done, I've loved. I didn't think the social Network would be a good movie, even though it was written by him. It was my favorite movie of that year, probably one of my
most favorite movies ever. Social Network is amazing. I think it's one that we'll remember for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. When Sorkin has somebody to temper him, he really does get better. Because, I mean, regardless, whatever Sorkin writes, he writes words like it's a song. They have a rhythm and a timbre, and I'm stealing something he said in West Wing. Shit.
I mean, no, it's true. That's like, and there was an interview with Kate Winslet, who's going to play one of the characters in the film, and that was one of the things that she said while she was halfway drunk, I think, while she was giving the interview. But it was like, there's a complexity and a rhythm to the dialogue that if you actually miss a word, it fucks it all up, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like everything, like each word actually is like a note, kind of thing. If you take one out, it breaks your rhythm. It breaks almost everything. It's almost like you have to start all over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's something deliberate per Aaron Sorkin. It's just that there's a natural like harmony to how it is that they talk. So
I will
don't
see
say it. Something and you know don't fuck it up.
But is it acceptable for us to make, you know, like if Boyle and Sorkin want to get together and drop a bomb, I'm all right with that. I'm not all right.
Are we on Funk Master Flex?
I'm really not excited. Boom. I just think it's abhorrent to make a movie about Steve Jobs. I just don't think there's anything interesting about that man.
Well, the thing about I think the concept of what the movie is, since it's not like a biography from the point of, hey, I'm going to tell you about this. I'm going to tell you about
how
all
awesome
about, like, I'm going to tell you all about Aaron Sorkin from, you know, the time he was 16 years old up until the time he died, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do like what they're doing with. It's broken up into three parts, so with each part being the release of a big, major Apple product. And it's like you're jumping in time. It looks like you're jumping in time from one to the next. You're not following along this, oh, he's 21 now, he's 23 now, he's 24 now, he's, you know, going to die now.
But kind sure, of thing. If anything, Ramon, I think you're going to like it, because it doesn't seem this movie is a hit piece, but it seems like it's going to be accurate. It's not going to be this, like, sycophantic hero worship that people have right now for Steve Jobs.
I don't care what you do with the character.
I'm not going to see it then.
I just think like the idea of making a movie about a man that ran a corporation and created phones and computers is not a good look. And I think it's just gonna be a less interesting story to tell. But Sorkin is good. And I bet you guys are right. I bet it's damn good. I bet I'm gonna eat my words on this.
Fuck this movie on my iPhone.
All right, let's move on. You know, the other movie that we're not going to talk about right now, because there's just we'll be here for several hours, and that'll probably be its own thing, is the Star Wars movie. Basically, it's coming out. Look for some sweet lens flares. I think it's going to be good. I think this movie is going to be like everyone will instantly love it, and then kind of be like, well, was that actually good, or did I just really love it? You know, like that's it's going to be like that fucking the shit with where he kind of rips off E.T.
The Abrams shit.
Super 8.
Yeah, where the first half you're like, wow, look at the wonder of this movie.
Well, dude. I feel like granted, I like Star Wars, but I'm not a huge diehard fan. I feel like in most people's minds, JJ has one job, and that one job is very simple, and it's to make it better than Episode 1.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, episode 1, Episode 2. You know, it's amazing, like, there's people, you know, I have a good buddy that I work with who you know, he runs, and it's, and you guys should check it out, it's called The Forecast. The Forecast, he runs, like, a Star Wars podcast, and
Is it the Forcecast?
Forcecast, that's probably it. I don't know why I said fork, but the point is, like... like
I'm hungry.
The fork is strong in this one.
Star Wars movies are like...
The Sporkcast.
The first ones are so terrible, like, that it's... Yeah, it's a shame that you have to, like, bring that into your world and, like, accept that as a building block. It's a damn shame. All right, we'll talk about that later. A shout out to Oscar Isaac. Hispanic's doing work. I think it's pretty fucked up, though, that he doesn't go by Oscar, whatever his actual last name is.
And he's just Cuban.
It's like, I turns out he was Jewish.
But so what do you think about Charlie Sheen, then?
It's fucked up, man. It's Charlie Sheen, Bruno Mars. His name is Bruno Hernandez, man.
Because like, he's Filipino, right?
His last name is Hernandez. It's not the point. He is Filipino.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
He's going by Mars and not Hernandez. All right. Hey, this is the ITL cast with your host Raymond Rainbows in the house.
Now you sound like a porn star.
So, I don't know, man. I think it's pretty whack. I mean, I get that you got to do that to get money. And Oscar Isaac, by all accounts, like a pretty enlightened dude. Estrada is his last name. Oscar Estrada. Oscar Hernandez Estrada. He's going by Oscar Isaac. It's a hoe move.
His mama named him Estrada. I'm going to call him Estrada.
So,
Rock Marciano.
All right, moving forward. So we've covered.
I agree. By the way,
we've covered video games. We've covered television. We've covered Oscar Isaac in film. let's get into.
I don't think there's anything else we can really cover.
I do kind of want to talk about this a little bit.
Sports?
Secret Wars is kind of like what Marvel is popping off and hitting us with this fall. And it sounds like they're doing a lot of really interesting, fun things. What the hell is Secret Wars? Why should people be checking that out?
Well, honestly, a lot of people don't. Marvel seems like they're still figuring out. But basically, Secret Wars is, for the last few years, they've had this really long arc where they've basically destroyed their universe. And now all of their best characters from all their different lines, all their different alternate universes, are all on one world called the Battle World. That was put together by Dr. Doom. And it's basically just a way for them to see which book sells the best, and here's the plot lines we're going to keep, and we're going to just make a new universe based off of it. Because they're just trying to have their cake and eat it, too. It's like a kid who has a bunch of toys and is told, well, you can't play with this toy because this toy doesn't go with this toy. And they're saying, well, fuck it. I'm going to dump them all together. So you're going to have, like, three different Spider-Mans. You're going to have four different Hulks, three different Wolverines. You're going to have Old Man Logan, which is a Wolverine. You're going to have the Wolverine from X-Men 92,
the
cartoon series. And then you're going to have the regular Wolverine. So, like, it's going to be crazy, but it's just a blatant, we're just trying to do anything to keep these comic sales up, because comic books at this point have turned into it's an intellectual property firm for the movies. So, like, it's also was a way, and they won't ever say it, but it's a way that they can screw Fox, because they're going to be premiering after Secret Wars without a Fantastic Four title. So Fox is earning it no longer. They're not going to get any new stories to make a movie out of, because what they did with the first Fantastic Four is they based it off the ones from the 40s. This last one, they were ostensibly basing it off Ultimate Fantastic Four. Well, they're not going to have anything else anymore after that. They're going to have to really mine the history if they want any new stories.
That is fascinating. And where can people check out the Secret Wars? Like, that's just a series of comics that are coming.
Oh, yeah.
Out.
Well, you can go to your local comic shop. You can go, if you're in Austin, Texas, you can go to Randy Lander's comic store, Rose Galleries Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. Just have to get that plug in.
That's not Austin. That's in Round Rock.
And but I use Comixology. It's through Amazon, because, like, I get off of work at, like, 10 sometimes, and comic stores are closed.
Yeah.
So, like, I can just get a digital copy. And honestly, digital copies are better, because I actually will read those more often. Like, physical copies, I put them away and never fucking touch them again.
Is that also on Marvel Unlimited?
It's gonna, the first few are on Marvel Unlimited, but okay. Marvel Unlimited has, like, a delayed.
Yeah.
It takes about 3 months to get the new stuff.
So, which I don't subscribe to the new stuff, but I'm trying to catch up on a lot of the Unlimited or stuff that you can get through Unlimited.
So. Yeah,
I like the pictures. Is it pretty pictures?
Good artists. there are some really good artists on the show, on that stuff right now.
Well, yeah. So cop that. So check that shit out. I think, you know, I was going to talk about music a little bit. I'll just drop some records, some new records that you should look into that are supposed to come out this fall. Lana Del Rey and Adele, two just hugely famous people, will have new albums. Can't say that I'm particularly interested, but that's going to happen. Good voices, right?
I can't stand Lana Del Rey.
I can't stand Adele.
I don't want to get into this right now, but I tend to think that they're both pretty trash. People like, I think...
Lana Del Rey has a body part that tastes like Pepsi Cola.
What?
I don't care.
Which one?
Yeah, like Lana Del
Rey... Not body part, but which Pepsi Cola?
Crystal Pepsi.
Right, Lana Del Rey and Adele, Diet. Whatever.
I'm just bitter because Adele gets all this attention for singing Soul when you got Angie Stone for years doing the same fucking thing.
And also, I mean, it's like it's music for Starbucks, you know. It's like, here you go.
Adult contemporary.
And then it's bothersome when people try to compare, you know, someone like Adele to someone that's actually like an artist and actually like a genius like Amy Winehouse, and it's just boring. Kanye West was supposed to have a record out, but we're not going to talk about it because, it could come out in 5 years. It could come out in 2 years. He could come out right now. He could drop it on Twitter. He could beam it into your phone this second.
Like you too.
Justin Bieber is about to drop a bomb. That's going to be a hot one. Look out for that new Bieber. I'm dead serious. It's going to be dope as fuck.
Are you really serious?
Hell yeah. One Direction's about to drop a bomb.
Oh, fuck off.
Not a big One Direction guy.
Yeah!
I'm not a big One Direction guy. First record, post Zayn. I don't know if they can recover. Obviously, I'm being facetious. They probably can't. I don't listen to One Direction. I don't give a fuck. But the Bieber's going to be hot. Bieber drops gems.
Is it going to be a Bieber and a One Direction compilation?
Man, they're going to do a little split EP.
like a little One Sweet Day Boys to Mariah Carey.
Oh, that would literally break the internet.
it'll break Tumblr for sure.
Fetty Wap is finally going to come out with his album after like a year and a half of having Trap Queen as a single.
Did he get his like eye fixed or anything?
No, he keeps it 100. Coldplay is coming out with another record, so look out for that Coldplay. I don't hate Coldplay. I don't know that Coldplay's all that interesting.
Every Coldplay, it seems like since the third Coldplay has been the same Coldplay.
Yeah, I think that's about
very fair.
All that you need to say about Coldplay. It's like, you know, they get neon-y and they dress up and stuff. Logan, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, Logan. Logan keeps looking at the time. This is a double album, you know. So we're gonna finish when we're finished. We will wrap it up soon, though. In terms of four bands that I really like putting out new music that I think is really worth your time. Check out the new Grimes coming soon. Really cool electro pop, really interesting, really heavily voiced, deep lyrics. The new Disclosure I think is gonna be a massive record. People love them. And you heard Vile. Yeah, Vile has an album every other year, and it's just really great, kind of like twangly bro rock. And then my dude, Waves. The Waves album's coming out. I love Waves. Kind of skatery punk rock. Heavy. Has an ear for melody. I love Waves. One of my favorite bands right now.
Also, the new Churches band. The new Churches album's going to be coming out.
Oh, is that new Churches dropping?
I'm just saying that's my band right now.
I fuck with Churches, man. No doubt about that. Every time, you know... Like Churches does shit up. Yeah, you're right. They just dropped a single called Leave a Trace.
Yeah, I love that song.
Oh. We're going to listen to Dead Air by Churches for just a quick second. So this is going to be our interlude. We're going to switch gears. But so that was Culture. That's what's new for fall. Last thing, are you guys in or are you guys out? And I just want a one-word answer on Stephen Colbert as the new David Letterman. Are you in or are you out?
In.
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 In without watching any of it.
I would be in. I think it's a little too precious. I don't know if people are going to get into it. You know, he's got like a bunch of trendy people. It is really cool. It's cool. I just hope it catches on because it just seems like a little too precious.
Remote. I think it's the right audience for him. So, I don't know. We'll see.
So we'll see.
To take it back for a second, if I can give you a compliment, one of the things I like about talking to you, because I have a bunch of friends who are like really big music fans. You're one of the only people I know that really love music that doesn't come off like a snob.
Oh, thanks, man.
You just like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
I think Ramon's great about that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because I like music. I hate it when people collect like vinyl. It's like, you don't like... If you like music, you would just get Spotify or like pull up YouTube. Like, you wouldn't go and like collect vinyl. Like, you like the idea of having vinyl in your home. Your phone. If you have vinyl, you're a straight-up bitch.
Damn. Man, my dad's gonna have something to say.
That's because he came up when there was vinyl.
Yeah, he has like original like Foxy Brown stuff and stuff like that.
I got CDs. Come at me, bro.
Salty.
I wasn't raised in the 60s and 70s. Why would I have vinyl? Why would I have Spotify, man? I got YouTube.
Every song ever is on my phone.
Every song is on my phone. I don't need like... I don't need
fucking Steve Jobs movie. Why you guys are brilliant shit.
Let's proceed amicably. By the way, you know what I'm drinking tonight? JC, you want to drink it tonight? It's a... I learned this. I was at a fantasy draft. It's called a refago. Have you guys ever heard of a refago?
No.
No?
They do... It's a Colombian thing that they actually do.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. No, it's called refago.
Isn't it a town in South Texas?
They do... Like, they actually do it in Colombia. It is half Coca-Cola, half beer, which sounds gross.
Sounds good.
Actually delicious. Huh. All right. let's talk about football. Let's talk about the NFL. If you're listening to
sports.
Now that we know what we can do once our team is either getting blown out or blowing out the other team,
yeah,
then now we can start coming back.
But if they're blowing the team, we're watching.
So the NFL...
That's a different site.
Depending on whether or not you hear this on a Friday or a Monday, week one of the NFL will have been in the books, or it will just be starting. We're doing this on the assumption that you're listening on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or just kind of like want to see how we did. So I think what I want to do is we're going to run through every game. I'm going to ask you guys to give me the winner of the game. And based on our collective vote, we will have an official ITL thing, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, Patriots and the other team, the Steelers, ended 28-14.
28-21. Interesting thing about that score, I think you guys know, and I think people who follow us on Twitter know how much I like the sports gambling. Patriots were favored by 7. That last touchdown that Pittsburgh scored with 2 seconds made it a push. Everybody's a loser.
Oh.
Fuck you, gambling.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
No, man, I love that. Oh, yeah, all you people out here playing daily fantasy football, all the gambling, just be careful. Be careful, man. Because that FanDuel, that DraftKings stuff, if you're watching ESPN this season, if you're playing fantasy football on ESPN, you're going to be inundated with DraftKings stuff. Yahoo's in the daily game. You know what?
Unless they want to sponsor us.
They want to sponsor us, but that shit is bullshit. And I'll tell you why it's bullshit. You guys know why that's bullshit?
Because gambling's bullshit.
Well, that's a philosophical issue.
Specifically,
here's the actual problem with that, though, Elliot. And this is something that I just assumed you guys knew. In 2006, there was a bit of legislation that made online gambling completely illegal. So, or not illegal, but it basically killed online gambling. So all these old poker sites, Elliot's coughing.
He's lost his shit.
It's karma.
He's indignant about this gambling.
Fuck gambling. Well, I'll say it again.
Here is the point. Daily fantasy football is not gambling.
It's not. It's a game of skill.
It's a game of skill. By definition, it's not gambling, and that's the problem.
It's what the government says.
The government also said I was 3/5 of a person. Okay? Fuck the government.
That's the thing. So in 06, they made a lot of online gambling stuff illegal, but the NFL was like, hey, fantasy football, we're not. Please keep that legal. Because of that, right after that, daily fantasy came out, and if you play daily fantasy football, if you're obsessed with daily fantasy football, if you're playing FanDuel, DraftKings, there's no language on any of those websites that taps into a hotline that can point you to someone that can give you help, because they don't have to call it gambling, and they actively make it a point not to call it gambling because they can sell you like some jabroni in like a Patriots jersey on TV.
You can win
$5. What's actually happening? You sign up for FanDuel. You're on FanDuel for 5 minutes. You just gave them $20. Fuck FanDuel. Fuck DraftKings. Unless you guys want to do sponsorships.
No, but you make a good point. Like whenever, gambling. If you think you're gonna win at gambling, you're really gonna in the long term. You're gonna win. And it's the same thing I say about the stock market for the most part. Look at Vegas. Does Vegas look poor to you? Does it look like they don't have money?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
where do they get that money from?
Like gambling, daily fantasy football exists on the money that you win is money that you have won off of other losers.
Yeah.
Right? It's
yeah.
a big pile of money that everybody puts in the center, but it doesn't have to call it gambling. And it's a serious problem because gambling addiction are big problems. And at least if you're on a used to be like playing online poker, there were like 1-800 numbers and stuff that you call. Here, no help. All right.
Yeah. All that being said, I do make gambling picks every Friday, and remember, I'm not an expert or anything. So if you lose your mortgage, don't yell at me.
Yeah. I love gambling. I love gambling. I love picks. But what I'm saying is, drink responsibly.
Be careful. Yeah. Just number one rule: only gamble what you can afford to lose.
Yeah. Oh, second rule is if you're $2. In Vegas, and they ever say when you're up like $3,000, oh, you're with house money now, cash out because that's your fucking money. Like if you started with 25 and like, well, you have $2,975 of house money. No, cash out, because I was up 3,000 at roulette and I went down to like 2,000 because I was like, oh, I got house money. I should cash out at 3.
Yeah.
Still better.
I totally feel what all of you guys are saying.
I have never won a single cent in gambling.
I love it.
I've lost a lot of it.
Take kids' lunch money. That's fine.
So
picks.
So that's it. Anyways, let's get into it.
Hi, guys.
You are welcome to bet on these picks, although we're going to do them straight up today, so it might not help you all that much. All right, Packers against the Bears. Does anyone like the Bears?
I like the Bears, but I'm just not going to pick them.
No. All right, so we got the Packers, right? All right, Chiefs at the Texans. This is actually kind of a sexy game. Hold on. We got a timeout. We got a flag on the field.
No, no. I'm saying Texans.
Oh. T. Oh, T. Oh, you're giving the timeout symbol. No, you can't.
This is T.
Oh, that's
lawyered.
All right. You lawyered shit. I don't know.
You know, big defensive line.
I want the Texans to win. I don't think that they'll do it. I think the Chiefs will.
Yeah, I think without Arian Foster, without a quarterback, they're not going to put up any points. So I take Kansas City.
I like the Chiefs too. I think the Texans don't have a quarterback and they don't have Arian Foster, but I know that they don't have any of those things, but I also just think the Chiefs are kind of secretly fantastic.
You think so?
I think they're kind of good. I think they're just well coached, good talent around them.
Charles, Jeremy Maclin.
I mean, yeah. I like Alex Smith in that system. You know?
The rookie receiver Chris Conley out of Georgia is a big old boy. I tell you what. I think the Chiefs. The year of Travis Kelce. I think they get it done with a big one on the road. Browns at Jets. I'm sorry that we have to talk about this game. This game's ugly.
I've got Jets, I guess.
Jets at home. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, he's big, known for the big completion.
I'm going Browns. Dog pound. Whoop, whoop.
I'm thinking Browns, maybe.
So we got.
I don't want to think about this game too much.
Two Browns, the Jets.
Are we at Taco Bell?
I think the Jets at home is a safer, play. Like the Browns, on the road have like an absolutely abysmal record, and
got to go New York.
I think the Jets win at home.
It's probably going to be one of the few times to say that we got to go New York.
But also like how often is like the Jets are how good are they at home? So
we should ask Benny.
Well, they're not good in general.
Yeah, but Cleveland's not that great on the road, so it's you know. Yeah. So Jets, we're going with Jets.
We like the Jets. The Finns at the Skins. The Dolphins.
You skipped one, but whatever.
Colts at Bills.
We'll circle back. We don't have to go in order. No one has to know that.
Yeah, why you going to put that man on blast like that?
The Finns at the Skins. Dolphins.
I think he just wanted to say that.
The Finns at the Skins.
Sounds like Bill Cosby.
Is Ryan Tannehill.
Rolling in the Pullens.
He's been in the league. He's been in the league 3 years now. We don't know if Ryan Tannehill's an NFL quarterback.
He's a franchise quarterback. They just gave him the contract extension.
We don't know if he's any good. I maintain that he kind of sucks.
I think he's better than Kirk Cousins.
That is damning with faint praise.
Washington is headed for one of its most historically bad seasons, I believe. And
they
actually
fucking deserve it.
The Washington Post ran a piece that was like, is this going to be like Washington's worst ever season? I think this could be like a new low.
It's interesting. There are a lot of teams like competing for like their worst season. Like people think the Bears are going to be the worst team in the NFL. Mm.
I don't blame them. Like Cutler gave up last year. Just straight up gave up.
I mean, they're without one of their major weapons. They didn't really add anything onto the thing. And Lance Briggs, I believe, retired.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Urlacher? So
he retired as well. Okay. Yeah, I mean that staunt, you know, linebacker core that they had, like it's gone, and they haven't replaced it really with anything. So anyway, going back to the Finns and the Skins, I don't know if Ryan Tannehill is necessarily a franchise quarterback. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be a top 15 quarterback. But I think that they ride that defense, especially against Washington, and all they need to put up is 14 points.
Well, I tell you, I got a hot take. You got like that Jarvis Landry over Miami. I think they're going to do big things. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Well, we like the talent. We definitely think Miami's talented. I just think it's hard to win much of anything when Ryan Tannehill sucks. When he cannot throw a deep ball to save his life, when he's not particularly accurate. What Ryan Tannehill is big, tall, strong, prototypical. But he doesn't have a pretty deep ball, and he doesn't have the accuracy that you'd like to see. And the fact that he's kind of athletic and can run around a lot doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot to me. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is the answer, but it doesn't matter. The Dolphins are going to win this game.
I disagree. I think they're going to win the game, but I disagree. I think he has the talent, but I think that they don't have the talent on the offensive line to protect him, to give him some protection.
Yeah. Where'd you go, Aggie?
I was like, where'd you go?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
hey, look, Vince Young is the best quarterback of all time.
He has a pretty shitty steakhouse.
So I've never actually been to the Vince Young Steakhouse, but I'm so glad it's
what
still
kind
business.
Of Longhorn Wait,
I, was
we like,
gotta, well, I was pretty sure that closed down, didn't
no,
it?
No, it's still around.
It's still around.
I don't think he owns it anymore, though.
It used to be the Real World House.
Yeah, I don't think he owns anymore, though. It's just still called the Vince Young Steakhouse.
Okay, I'm not going to go.
Yeah. Look at that short rib chili.
Speaking of Vince Young, though, didn't somebody play basketball with him recently?
Yeah, I did. I didn't play basketball with him, but he was at the gym. It was weird because he works for the Longhorn Network, and so I would have thought they sent them to South Bend for the game. And I kind of asked him, and he's just like, no, they didn't send me.
they gave me a bus ticket.
Yeah.
Instead, they sent Ramon.
Yeah.
To buy two tickets. I don't know, man. Vince Young.
Just a cautionary tale.
Colts and Bills, huh?
Colts? Let's talk a little Colts. Let's talk a little Bills. I actually think of the morning games, it's not saying a whole lot, but Colts-Bills, I think the most sexy and exciting game of the noon bill.
A good nooner.
Colts, popular Super Bowl pick. And actually, at the end of this, we will reveal our Super Bowl picks. Right?
Will?
A very good team that has been consistently getting to the later rounds of the AFC playoffs. Fresh off of an AFC championship loss. Added to just consummate veterans that are kind of doing a little San Antonio Spurs, you know, do a little senior leadership kind of thing. Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, Chuck Pagano, does he have the defense figured out? He is a defensive coach after all. Playing the Buffalo Bills, Rex Ryan, first year.
Boom.
I picked him to win the AFC East on this very podcast. Now, this was before we knew that Tom Brady was going to be back week one. So, obviously, that pick is just about useless right now.
Yeah.
But the Bills are kind of secretly, they're very good.
Defense is good.
Defense is top three.
Top three.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to see here, and who do you guys like?
I like the Colts. Despite the great defense of the Bills. Andrew Luck's had a lot more weapons, so I'm curious to see how that's going to translate in week one. I think it'll translate to a win.
All right. Elliot, who you got?
Yeah, you got to go to the Colts, and honestly, for me, it's just, I think Rex Ryan's a shitty coach. Honestly, I think he's the Chris Christie of the NFL. He's sort of a tough guy, and people give him a lot of credit, but what has he done? He's failing upward. He's like Lane Kiffin.
He took Mark Sanchez to the AFC Championship game twice.
Yeah.
Did he win the Super Bowl?
No.
Thank you.
But how many players or how many coaches win the
Super Bowl?
Get to call yourself a success and a good coach. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be a very sexy game, but I do think it's going to be kind of a competitive one. I like the Colts, too, only because, for the same reason that Washington and the Texans are going to suffer. It's like they just don't have. I don't know enough about the quarterback in order to see them getting past a potential Super Bowl contender.
Sure.
So
it sounds like Colts. Logan, any dissent? Any case for the Bills?
Oh yeah, I mean the Colts all the way.
Yeah, I like the Bills a lot this season. But if you think Tyrod Taylor is going to beat Andrew Luck, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
Tyrod.
This is a rematch. This is actually I believe the 20th anniversary.
You guys both said Colts. Sorry, I'm just
yeah. This is a rematch of the. It's not a rematch at all, but
they've never played in their lives. Yeah,
both of these
it's rematch
teams,
from Super Bowl 23.
Both of these teams entered the NFL in 1995. They had kind of funky new neon colors: the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Carolina Panthers. Really, could not have been less interesting markets for the NFL to just plomp their flags. I still don't understand.
I understand Carolina.
I'm fine with Carolina, but man, the Jacksonville thing. I remember we wrote a piece about the Jacksonville Jaguars and why they suck, and why they shouldn't exist.
Because Jacksonville sucks.
And I got a bunch of response from fans online, and they were really upset. And they should exist. I think they're great fans, and I'm sure they have great fans. But bigger picture, it's just Jacksonville has no business with an NFL team. All right,
I agree.
But still,
moving to Europe.
Panthers and Jaguars. Jaguars are interesting this year, which is about all you can say for them, right? young talent. They have a defined number one, Allen Robinson. They have a defined starting workhorse running back, the bell cow, T.J. Yeldon. They have a potentially franchise quarterback in Blake Bortles. Do they have triplets? Do they have a big three?
Nope.
Defense is better than expected. Panthers, on the other hand, Cam Newton, quarterback that everybody knows has the talent. We're kind of waiting for him to see if he can turn a corner from being a very good quarterback into an elite quarterback. Will be, relying on Jonathan Stewart. The problem is the defense has kind of fallen apart, so it could be a wide scoring game. All right, who you got?
Well, for pure experience, I guess I think I go Carolina. I don't really like Carolina's offense very much, but I really don't like Jacksonville's defense much at all. So I think of all the games that Carolina's going to get to play this year, of them being able to put up some points, I think this is probably going to be the one, and I think they put up enough. And I think Blake Bortles showed spurts last year of, you know, potentially being the quarterback of the future, but it's still too intense. It's still too young. I don't see them getting past Carolina, at least in week one.
All right. Does anybody disagree?
No.
No.
I'm so indifferent, but I guess I'm going to call
I have one Carolina. Point that I don't think you can even count T.J. Yeldon until he proves himself, because these Alabama running backs have just been shit.
Like, Eddie Lacy. Still hasn't. Eddie, he's got a concussion problem, but I mean, when he's healthy, he's top seven running back. I think he's top seven running back.
They're all very one note.
But is he also good because he's in the system?
I think he's definitely complimented by the system.
Yeah.
But I think that goes for a lot of the running backs.
Sure.
For the most
fair
part.
Enough. Yeah.
I do get what you're saying, though. I mean, it's not like they don't have exactly the best track record.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy being the top tier of those Alabama running backs, with the bottom being Trent Richardson, who's not playing anymore.
The worst, according to somebody at ESPN, the worst running back
in history.
All right, so I think the other thing is, I mean, Cam Newton is, you know, he's gotten 2,571 rushing yards in the past 4 years. I mean, he's going to be a problem for the Jaguars. Jaguars are banged up. I like the Panthers. We all like the Panthers. All right, this is another sexy one. The Super Bowl representing Seattle Seahawks traveling to St. Louis, a team that, again, super loaded at the defensive line, can go seven deep. Is there a chance that the Rams can rise to the occasion, win this one at home? Does anyone like the Rams? I would love to hear it.
I think it would be a lot sexier if Gurley was playing.
Sexy Gurley.
Yeah.
And Trey Mason's a game-time decision, so he could be out as well.
You know, I do like, you know, I do want to see how Nick Foles is gonna play in that system, and I do like Coach Fisher, but Seahawks just too strong of a team all the way around. I'm pretty sure Seattle goes in and there it comes out with a win.
Yeah, you know, the last time they played, Seattle outgained St. Louis 463 to 275.
Yeah,
and they won the time of possession battle. So
now they have Jimmy Graham too. So.
Now they've got a potential passing game. Like they have a tight end who can get beyond those Laurinaitis and the front seven of St. Louis, and I'm not as big on St. Louis' secondary as I am their front seven. So,
tend to agree. All right, Seattle. I think, you know, I don't know. I'd like to get bold, but I think Nick Foles is not good. I think the running game is not good. I think Brian Quick is a solid number one, but I think you're going to struggle to get him the ball. Saints at Cardinals again. Are we going to lean on the recency bias? Are we going to buy into Bruce Arians and the new wave Cardinals? I like Arizona to go and just hit New Orleans in the mouth. I don't know if the Saints necessarily have an answer for all the talent that Arizona has.
Well, they don't have a defense. They haven't.
That's yeah. And with Carson Palmer being healthy now, Fitzgerald, and overall, like, honestly, even without that, most people can put up points on New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the New Orleans style of offense kind of plays a little bit into the kind of defense that Arizona is equipped for. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be like a 27-21 kind of thing for Arizona.
I completely agree. All right. That's actually kind of a close one. So does anyone have – who has the Saints?
Yeah. Did anyone have the Saints?
To me, it's kind of a coin flip. I kind of lean more towards the Saints here. If
the Saints can like coax him into a shootout, you know, certainly you think that Drew Brees can get it going with Coleman, with Cooks, with, you know,
some of that gumbo,
and with some gumbo, you know, with plenty of gumbo.
I think put some foot in that gumbo, that shit.
It's gonna be close. I like the Cardinals.
That's what my dad sounds like when he goes to Louisiana.
Who likes Saints? So we got one for Saints, one for Cardinals. Who you guys got?
I got cards.
Cards.
I got cards.
Cards. Yeah. All right. So
breaks my heart, but it got cards are gonna win.
This is how you get ahead, man. If we're all picking,
that's
the
true. I'm being controversial.
Oh, this is how you get really
Lions at. Yeah. See, I thought we were doing like one collective thing.
Again, I lose every.
But you're right. We're doing all right. So Lions at the Chargers. Oh man, I think Detroit's really good.
Chargers, baby.
But yeah, you got to go out west. It's always a pain in the ass to win on the road, especially on the West Coast.
It's so hot and down in San Diego. It's hot. If you're coming from Detroit,
don't they have that new running back? I forgot.
Melvin Gordon, Amir Abdullah. Yeah, it's Amir Abdullah for the Lions, Melvin Gordon for the Chargers. I think they're still going to lean on Joy. You know, they are expected to lean on Joy Bell for the short term. I think really to me this game comes down to the difference making ability of Calvin Johnson and whether or not he can have one of these Gronk kind of games where he catches 10, you know, 8-9 balls and.
I definitely think with Golden Tate having the kind of year he had last year, it's going to take a little bit of the pressure off. It's going to take a lot of the pressure off of one of the two. Either Tate's going to have a game out of his mind, or Calvin Johnson.
I have been reading about like how much kind of a goal line beast that Joyke Bell is going to be, and so I think
he's a big back. So yeah. I'm not as high up on Stafford as I am up on Phillip Rivers. I think between the two quarterbacks, I definitely prefer Rivers, but I think Detroit's just got a much more talented team overall. And you don't know exactly how Melvin Gordon's gonna produce yet in the NFL. So I'm going Detroit.
Completely agree. I like Detroit as well. I think they're a better team, whether it's on paper, in person, whatever. The fact the West Coast thing, you know, I'm not too concerned about it. I just think Detroit has more going on. So I'm comfortable picking the Lions, but it does feel like kind of a sucker bet because by the fourth quarter we'll be like, oh shit, yeah, it's 21-13 and the Lions aren't in this. Anyone else?
I got Chargers.
Chargers.
I'm with Lions on this one.
All right.
I like Stafford too much.
Yeah, I do too.
Adam, you guys both went Lions?
Yep.
Yeah. There we go. All right, so the next one,
Lannisters.
A fantastical duel of teams that were good in the late 90s and more interestingly teams that have rookie quarterbacks they will be driving out of the driveway for the first time in their franchise. Marcus Mariota and the Titans taking on Jameis Winston and the Bucks. Now, this is that Lovie Smith cover 2 defense. Yeah. Year 2 could be secretly kind of good playing against a rookie quarterback. For all you people streaming defenses, the Bucks are kind of hot. Especially because the Tennessee Titans have offensive line issues, and because their skill players are not that good.
Ever since Coach Boone left the team, they haven't been the same.
It hasn't been the same. So I'm tempted to pick the Bucks, but I think Marcus Mariota, is all that and then some, has an Aaron Rodgers ceiling, and I'm picking the Titans in this one.
All right,
I got the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm going Bucks. I just think, of the two rookie quarterbacks, I'm just kind of basing that decision off of Jameis having more weapons.
That's exactly what I'd say.
Well, Mike Evans, I think, is going to be out for the game, though.
Well, even then, I think they've got. I think they've also got a stronger running game. Bishop Sankey being back there for Tennessee didn't have exactly a standout rookie year. Not saying he can't, that it can't improve, but I think, I don't know. Two shit shows. Tampa Bay's less shit, more show. I don't know.
Generally agree. All right, so moving on. This is a game.
I'm going Bucks because my nickname from my old football watching buddy Alyssa Z was Lovie Smith. So gotta stick with that.
Adam, you went Bucks too.
I'm going Bucks.
All right, cool.
I love it. I think you guys are right. I just kind of feel it. Sometimes, on paper, I definitely think the Bucks should win this game, but I'm feeling the Mariota left train a little bit. All right.
You got to go with your gut.
The Bengals going out west to play a Raiders team that I'm just perpetually intrigued by. I just think they're, I just like their skill players, and I like Derek Carr.
Amari Cooper.
Cooper's the...
And Crabtree is the other receiver. Like, that's an amazing receiving core right
now. The Cincinnati Bengals allow the third fewest receiving yards to number one receivers.
Yeah.
So they can cover you. I think people are stuck. And I want to ask you guys this. You know, if you have, like, Amari Cooper or Devontae Adams, who are you starting this weekend? Up until I saw the opponent, I've been so excited to just trot out Amari Cooper. But I do think that Devontae Adams against that Bears secondary is the guy that you got to play, which is a bummer to say. Specifically on the game, dialing it back in, Bengals radar. Bengals have, I would say, very easily the most talented, are the most talented team in the AFC North.
You got Jeremy Hill.
It's week one, so Matt Dalton's got AJ Green at least. So
yeah. So you go. Is there an argument to be made for the Raiders? Does anyone like the Raiders?
There, it,
I think there is an argument. I think it's going to be a competitive game.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going Raiders. I like Carr. I like Cooper. You know, Crabtree. I think that combination there is going to do some good stuff.
I know what
picking.
I'm picking Oakland. I used to live in Oakland. I'm going to pick with them.
So. I used to live in Oakland.
I used to live in Oakland.
That's
bro.
Awesome.
We discussed this previously on the podcast, Elliot.
Don't you listen?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
I was never an Oakland fan. I was always more of a 49ers fan, but whatever.
And Adam went Bengals.
You know, I'm kind of on the fence. I think between amongst all the really young teams, I think Oakland is the
most potential.
I think they have the most potential. Yeah, Derek Carr had a pretty solid rookie season. He's got more weapons now than he had last year. He's got more to work with now. I think Khalil Mack is a stud. And
return
I think,
of the Mack, you say?
Exactly. So
once again.
I think that the main thing that the Bengals have over the Raiders is just kind of consistency with coaching
and experience, and I think that they're settled into that. Yeah. I think they're settled into a lot of what it is that they're good at and not that good at. So, I think this will be my upset pick. I'm gonna go Oakland this week.
Yeah. I definitely think the Raiders can cover. I think this is one of those games where you know if you're watching one of the less interesting games in the fourth quarter, they'll just cut you out to this West Coast game where it's still kind of frisky.
Yeah.
But I think the Bengals are just way too much for Derek Carr to handle. I think you have to pull Amari Cooper from your lineup. I think you got to be conservative. It's not fun.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals won, but I'm rooting for Oakland on this one.
Let me ask a Cooper question. Should I play Michael Crabtree this week?
Nah. See how it's going to be. I mean, Crabtree's a good football player. He's never really had a quarterback that can maximize his skill set. But see what he's got first. I mean, right now, that's the other thing about Michael Crabtree, right? All of your, unless you're in a very deep league, all of your receivers out there in fantasy land should be number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be starting number twos.
Well, I'm only thinking because, like, Mike Evans was going to be out this week, and he was my number two receiver.
Yeah.
Think of it this way as well. I could see Oakland winning the game. That's why I'm picking them as maybe my upset. But I could also see Cincinnati putting up a shitload of points. And if that's the case, Oakland's going to be airing it out.
Well, I tell you this right now: whoever has Jeremy Hill is going to have a good weekend.
I think so.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of Jeremy Hill. We'll see a lot of Latavius Murray. I like the Bengals in this one. JC, who you got?
I'm going Bengals.
Yeah. Well, there you go. This is a rematch of what was one of the most epic divisional round playoff games that we've ever seen. Ravens traveling to the Mile High City for the first time since they defeated the Broncos in the 2012-2013 season. Peyton Manning's still the quarterback. Joe Flacco's still the quarterback. Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? I mean, yeah, obviously. who do you guys like? I think this game's actually pretty cool. Sports Illustrated picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. A lot of expectations all of a sudden. This year.
Broncos, did Ray Lewis come back or something?
Broncos are always, you know, a pretty good value. And by the way, I was wrong. This is not the first time that the Ravens and the Broncos actually opened the season in 2013. So
Broncos beat
the shit out of them. Plus, the Ravens parted ways with a lot of seniors. Not seniors, a lot of veterans. And
it's like a bunch of 65-year-old people.
They graduated to life.
And the whole world
get
is
back to AARP.
Whole world is very anxiously awaiting the pro debut of Virgil Green at tight end for the Broncos. So I like Denver at home to push around the Ravens a little bit. I just don't think they can keep up with them, and I think Peyton Manning will make it a shootout. That's what I got. What do you guys think?
No, I think exactly the same thing.
I got Broncos all the way.
Completely agree.
And JC, who you got?
Broncos.
There you go. It's. I just feel like it seems like a better match than it actually will be. The Sunday Nighter. The Cowboys have not lost to the Giants since 2012, which is hard to imagine because that's such a frustrating rivalry for all Cowboys fans, myself included.
Third biggest favorite, you know, as far as Vegas is concerned.
The Cowboys over the Giants?
Favored by six.
Favored by six. Can definitely see that. 38-20, it feels like. I think the problem is the Giants have all sorts of problems on the defensive side of the ball. But the Giants can air it out. They have weapons spread all over the field. I do kind of think the Cowboys are due for a stinker. So I like the Giants in this game. I had just reverse jinxing.
That sounds
myself.
Like a paranoid fan.
I don't trust that pick.
But it is a gut. It is a, like, I think the Cowboys are going to fuck this up.
It's a protect. This is a protect yourself pick. Of like, oh, I don't want to be disappointed.
No, Eli just got that 4-year, $84 million extension with $65 million guaranteed. I mean,
Jesus.
Come on.
Who would give him that kind of money? The Giants, I guess.
He has won a Super Bowl.
So
he has won two of them.
That's right, two. That's right.
Yeah,
against the Patriots.
Yeah, fuck the Patriots.
That's where my
give him all the fucking money he wants, man. He beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. I love that guy.
When they were gonna have
except when he's playing.
When they were gonna have an unbeaten season too.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's what I got. What do you guys think? Cowboys? Everyone else think Cowboys?
Cowboys. Yeah, I say Dallas.
I feel it's really difficult to pick against
that,
the Cowboys.
That being said, I mean, the Giants always scare me. They always scare me every single year. Just
sure.
They're that fearless team that they go in and they really want to beat the Cowboys.
But it's a rivalry game. The Giants are never scared to play in Cowboys Stadium in AT&T.
Yeah. And I think they relish being the underdogs. They relish showing, they want to show you up. They want to go into the Dallas Cowboys home and
I agree with that, but I'm still not going to pick them.
Yeah,
I'm still
I take everything you're saying, but the thing I thought I would never fucking say about Dallas, I really respect their GM work these days.
Oh, it's sensational.
Getting Lyle Collins. When they got him
for free, getting Randy Gregory,
and now he's fucking pancaking fools. Yeah. As long as they got that O line, I'm not picking against Dallas and something like this.
And that's kind of what's going to keep me going for Dallas for every single week is going to be the fact that they're the core part, the unsexy part of the game, which is the offensive line. It's the part that nobody really cares about. Yeah. But if you've got a consistently dominant offensive line,
you get that push.
It's it's hard to bet against you just because you're not having to rely on.
Scheme
on,
and
on, yeah,
position
exactly.
players.
Correct. So I'm going Dallas.
I think the Cowboys should win, but I just think the Giants have a little bit more fire in them, and I just can't see Dallas winning that many in a row. But there you go. Let's hit the Monday Nighters very quickly here. Eagles at Falcons, two teams that were kind of excited to see what they got. What results? Sam Bradford making his debut for the Philadelphia Eagles at quarterback. Can he stay healthy this season? I think that'll obviously...
No.
Is he going to play 12 games, 13 games, 14 games? Is he going to get banged up and then Mark Sanchez comes in and then Sanchez takes over?
He's going to make it to this game because Atlanta can't get a pass rush from
fucking
come back.
He's going to come back after 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's going to come back from the SEC network analyst desk.
Somebody's going to roll away the stone and he's going to come out.
I mean, he definitely makes it through this game, and they definitely score a shitload of points.
Yeah, I think it'll be a high-scoring game in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Falcons have all sorts of new things that they're trotting out. It is a home opener. I don't know. I think Atlanta's defense will struggle with the Philly tempo, but, Atlanta has a franchise quarterback. Philly doesn't. Give me the Falcons.
Is Matty Ice really a franchise quarterback?
Yes. Yeah, I think
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's
what
one of the things.
What has he done?
Well,
but
okay.
Yeah, but it seems like, yeah, like, he, maybe he's the quarterback, but what does he have around?
He's got it. The problem's never been the offense not being able to score points. It's been the defense keeping points off the board.
Right.
Every single year, whenever they've, even the years in which they were successful, they were able to score points. They just couldn't keep. They couldn't keep New York from scoring points. They couldn't keep somebody from scoring points. It's just it's going to be the same thing this year as well. So I can't see Philadelphia not being able to put up 40 points on that Atlanta defense.
I tend to agree. All right,
Vikings.
I got Eagles.
Eagles.
I have no fucking clue. I'll go Eagles just to. With the pack.
Next we've got Vikes and the 49ers.
And this is the last game of the week here. Vikings, 49ers. The Vikings are going to smash San Francisco because San Francisco has so many problems.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater breakout.
Yep.
Smoke him if you got him. I got Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I'm a Niners fan, and I think Vikings are going to destroy them. Yeah.
Yep. I think Colin Kaepernick, he has to show... I think he has... This is the last season he has of being a star quarterback. If he doesn't show something, he's going to be second string, and then... He's just going to cycle out of the league.
And there you have it, folks. Inside the Locker, week 1 NFL picks. We'll be doing this every week unless we figure out a more engaging way to do it. But I think that was pretty good. That was all right. We wish you a lovely weekend, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Inside the Locker, we're out.
Peace.